Speak up.
You're listening to Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. We're the campus and community radio station at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast from unceded Coast Salish territories.
Good morning. Hello. Welcome. Thanks for coming. My name's Jesse. This is Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby, the campus community radio station at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast this program and all of our programs from the unceded ancestral territory of the Halkomelem and Squamish-speaking peoples who have been here since time immemorial, gathering, telling stories, listening to each other, and otherwise occupying this place. Today on the program, got... looks like three stories to share with you, along with a little bit of music. We will hear a piece I put together about a new exhibit at the Burnaby Village Museum called From Afghanistan to Canada with Hope. We will hear an interview that CJSF music coordinator did with harpist Adria Jackson. And we will return... we will hear my interview with Teal Phelps Bondaroff about sea cucumber crime. Played this last week on Tuesday's episode of Speak Up, but think it's worth sharing again with you here. So that'll happen. And whatever else we have time for, a little bit of music to tie everything together, I think. So let's just get right into the thick of it. We're going to return to the new record by La Lune. Everything is an eternal circle and it repeats and repeats itself. And this time we're going to hear the track called Are We Over It Yet? The answer for me, no, I am not over it. I am still obsessed. And hopefully, so are you.
A new feature exhibit at the Burnaby Village Museum profiles the city's Afghani residents, presenting audiovisual portraits of several community members that highlight the diversity, resilience, and importance of the Afghani community to the cultural and social fabric of Burnaby. Jane Lemke is the Burnaby Village Museum's curator and oversaw the development of From Afghanistan to Canada with Hope, which is one of the museum's feature exhibits until September 1st.
We put it together with a group of Afghan community members in the Edmonds area. We interviewed about 40 members of the Afghanistani community, and then we took their stories and tried to compress them into bite-sized pieces to introduce them to the Canadian audience, because as the committee really wanted it to be communicated, they felt that many Canadians don't understand the complexities of Afghanistan, and many Canadians just have this prejudice about it as a country of war, which is a lot of its history. However, these people have come to Burnaby and are contributing greatly to what we know as Burnaby today. So they wanted to feel seen, and they wanted the stories of hope to come through, hence the title.
The result is a series of visual displays, each dedicated to a particular Afghani Canadian who lives in Burnaby, paired with a QR code that viewers can scan to hear an audio excerpt from a longer interview that highlights the role each person plays in their community.
Many of the people we spoke to are people of prominence in the Afghanistani community, some of them in big ways and some of them in smaller ways. So Mozada is, she's called the Afghan Oprah. So she's a singer, and she's very well known.
My show made a huge difference. My songs made a huge difference. It changed the minds of, you know, people, especially the younger generation, the way they think about things. I mean, you mention certain things in lyrics, it's so much more powerful than, you know, even the presidential speech or political speech or something like that, because people are more connected with music. And so when they hear lyrics in music, it's so much more powerful. Or if you're telling a story in on film, for example, you're watching a movie, it's just more, it has more of an impact. And so I saw the difference I was making in doing the show and doing the music in the time where it was needed.
But then some of them are doing kind of quiet work. Shafiq Hakimi is an immigrant services society worker doing a lot of resettlement.
That's what I tell my newcomers. And I tell them that thousands of years ago, the north part of the globe was frozen. And many people just walked their way into this place. And as the ice was melting, and then many people started calling this beautiful place home. They were the First Nations. They started building a life, managing their life. They started growing their food on these lands and then fishing in these waters. And they called it home. And then the Europeans came in, and they started calling this place home, and they started living here. And now you are coming here. And this place has been, and you're going to call this home. And I tell them that whenever you go out, this is the one place you'd feel proud. You wouldn't be judged by how your skin color. You wouldn't be judged by what you wear, the dress code, or the language you speak, or the religion you follow, what you eat, who you like, what you like. Nobody judges you as long as you have, with those rights, there are some responsibilities as long as you follow your responsibilities. And I say, whenever you go out, just raise your head up. Nobody's going to question you. And I give an example. If something bad happens to you, God forbid, then you go to a police station. The police station doesn't ask you where you're from or whether you're new or old. They will take all the information. They wouldn't even bother knowing if you're a newcomer or not.
Parnian Rastaki, she was a pharmacist in Afghanistan. She taught pharmacy in university and then was unable to work when the Taliban regained power in 2021 and then relocated with her two kids as a single mom to Canada. And now she's taking English classes and trying to work towards becoming a teacher.
Well, let's start about my impression about Canada from the Embassy of Canada. Yeah, and also from the stories of Afghans from Canadians. because I applied for the France embassy too. They were a little rude. Yeah, but when I went to Canadian embassy, they were so kind, so caring, so soft, and they were so understanding. And my interview, there was a guy, he was so polite. I said, look, I think the softness is starting from here. It was so different. For a person like me who was really tired of violence, who was really tired of war, from losing, from leaving, from skipping, from all those things, it was a very good sign for me.
It's been really interesting to get to know the levels of their lives and how they're finding value and giving back. And it's been a really beautiful exhibit to put together.
Lemke says community members were eager to participate, both to make their presence known within Burnaby and to provide more depth and context to their identity as Afghani Canadians, which is all too often reduced to the stereotype of a refugee fleeing a war-torn country.
They did not want it to be about war. So it's not hidden. So many of their stories talk about conflict or leaving a struggle, or having to be forced to leave a situation. But they all talk about being so incredibly proud to be Canadian. And I think sometimes that gets lost in the immigrant experience, that somehow they're here because they couldn't be somewhere else. But in reality, many of them were really happy, and many chose Canada out of the options in which they could go. And they were really wanting to give back and to build something here. And they want that to be known loud and clear to all the people that come.
The exhibit also features smaller displays of jewelry, shoes, tapestries, and other cultural items, and a wall filled with portraits of community members who wanted to make their mark in the history of Burnaby for their families and their community.
They wanted to leave a legacy on Burnaby's history for their children. So a lot of their lives were disrupted because they wanted to leave for a better life for perhaps themselves, but a lot of the stories were for their children or their future children that they wanted to have. And so they really want to leave their story for that reason and the legacy to give on, and to really feel that they've been profiled in a way that people can see and witness, which is why we had a lot of people sit and just take portraits taken. They wanted to just have their faces up with, and many of them are smiling, and they were really thrilled to just be able to be seen at the museum, a community that is quite small in terms of demographics but growing, and there's a lot of prejudice against this country's immigrant community in particular, so they really wanted to just say, hey, we're here and we're just like you.
The exhibit is a powerful testament to the diversity of people, cultures, and communities that make up Burnaby, and a reminder of the common experiences that tie us together as humans.
I want people to see this community of immigrants as just like them. And I want the human experience of leaving pain and finding hope and joy in the complexity of what it is to be a human. And I want people to see that and feel connected to this community, perhaps in a new way or just in a renewed sense of calm.
From the Burnaby Village Museum for CJSF 90.1 FM, with files from Heritage Burnaby and the Burnaby Village Museum's exhibit From Afghanistan to Canada with Hope, I'm Jesse Wensloff. This story is made possible by funding from the Community Radio Fund of Canada's Local Journalism Initiative and can be found online with stories from across the country at frequencynews.ca.
Volunteering at CJSF 90.1 FM is a great experience and is easy to get started, so I'll tell you a little bit about it in the hope that you reach out. As this station is run almost entirely by volunteers, you have a variety of ways to get active at CJSF. Every department can use a little bit of help. Arts and entertainment. Well, you can write and produce reviews, conduct interviews of local musicians, the music library, acquiring, organizing, reviewing, and compiling charts. Public affairs. Interviewing groups, attending events, recording lectures. Public relations, postering, graphic design, and programming. You can host your own show or work on a collective. Production, audio editing, and PSA building. And once you feel comfortable, you can even volunteer to help the volunteers. So volunteer with us at CJSF 90.1. Email us at vol4cjsf@sfu.ca.
Welcome back to Speak Up at CJSF on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. I'm Jesse. Just heard my report about the Burnaby Village Museum's new
exhibit from Canada, Afghanistan to Canada with Hope. You can check that out all summer at the Burnaby Village Museum, which is free to enter. Pretty cool. And they have a bunch of other exhibits. They have one called Delectable that is about food journeys throughout BC. They have all sorts of cool things there. So go check it out. It's great. And it's right by Burnaby Lake. So you got lots of things to distract yourself with down there. You can spend a whole day. Okay, we are now going to hear from Connor and his interview with Adria Jackson, who is a harpist. He caught up with Adria at a coffee shop, so we're going to hear that interview. But first, we're going to hear some music from Adria Jackson. We're going to hear this track from the record Troubadour called Tell the Bees.
Announce the news. everyone. Welcome to Aperture Coffee. I'm Connor Ashton with CJSF 90.1 FM, and I'm here with...
Adria Jackson.
And where are you from, Adria?
Originally, I grew up in Kamloops, BC, but have lived in the UK, Nova Scotia, Ontario, Saskatchewan, so I'm kind of from everywhere at this point.
And you brought your harp to Vancouver for the first time.
Yes, I was coming out, well, I was already in Ontario with my harp playing near Niagara Falls, and I thought I'd come out, I was seeing my family, and I thought I'd bring my harp out as well.
And you mentioned that this is your travel harp, so I would assume you've got, you know, a couple of other instruments back home.
Yes, I have a hand. Carves harp from Nova Scotia, but it's really heavy and it doesn't move, so that's that stays at home. I also have a double strung harp that I'm learning to play. It's going to take me a little bit longer, but yeah, this one I'm able to take, and then that's, I have my case that I can fly with.
And you mentioned that this harp was made in Seattle.
It was, yes. Dusty Strings. They're one of the bigger factories. Well, it's still handmade. There's 30 people made the harp, actually. And, yeah, so they kind of helped with the resurgence of Celtic harps again.
And you played a wonderful selection of both Celtic, Gaelic music. We had some old English music as well, too. We heard an original arrangement of Telling the Bees, as well as music from Lord of the Rings, your own arrangements of that. As a classical musician myself, I really appreciate and know how difficult it can be to take something in an orchestral or chamber form and bring it down to solo and voice. And
yes.
You mentioned not only is there sometimes a lack of harp music, but there's also one thing I loved that you focused on tonight was harp music that features female musicians.
Yes. Yeah. And there's a tradition, obviously, of women singing with harps, but I think so often, I don't know if it's just that they were lost, or a lot of times women weren't allowed to perform in public, so a lot of those songs may have been lost. But one interesting thing about female folk songs is in the northwestern islands of Scotland, the Hebridean Islands, women, as a part of their dowry, would write a love song to their husbands. So there are so many folk songs that were written by young women within the Hebridean repertoire.
Wow. And I was just going back into kind of my own experience of doing classical music. I'm a piano player and a singer as well, too, so it was nice to sing along. But it made me think of a name, Roger Quilter.
Oh, yes.
So fantastic art song. Yeah. So my recommendation to you would be to arrange some Roger Quilter for harp. That would be super cool.
I'm sure that'll be my next project. I have about 5 different projects, but I'll put that on the list.
As any good musician does.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about your most recent album, Troubadour.
That was my first album, actually. I'd never done anything like that before, so I started out just as a single of Skyboat Song, and my sound engineer said, you should just do a full album. So I just thought I would record one album of kind of the greatest hits of folk music, so it would kind of carry me through my career. But my career's really picked up, and I'm performing like 8 times, I think, this month.
Wow.
Yeah, so, and I've only been doing this for 2 years.
Amazing.
So, but Troubadour has original songs. It has a Norwegian song by Edvard Grieg, because my mother's side of the family is from Norway. So, but it has folk elements. So I like to include classical music that is inspired by folk music. And then just your traditional Robbie Burns songs and things like that on the album.
When I was a kid, one of my favorite pieces was from the Peer Gynt Suite, or I guess it was a collection of like lyric music by Grieg, The Wedding Day at Trollhagen.
Yes.
I really love that. And I think that might be cool for like a harp ensemble or something like that.
Yeah, you need a lot more instruments to
totally,
perform.
Totally.
Yeah.
And also, there was a little bit of modern folk music with Joni Mitchell, Joan Baez as well, too.
Yes, so I didn't grow up with that kind of style of music at all, but my sound engineer was like, you got to put, you know, some sort of Joni Mitchell. So I really explored her music, and ultimately, as she got older, it became more jazzy based, and that doesn't really work for the Celtic harp, but I really enjoyed her voice and her song selections when she first started out. Because ultimately, when she started singing Saskatoon, she was only doing trad.
Mm-hmm.
And then with Song to a Seagull, that album, you could still hear elements of that, and she still had that soprano voice, so I kind of connected with that. So it was interesting kind of exploring that part for the album.
And not only is that album full of excellent music, I listened to it before I came to the show, so really cool, I enjoy that. It also, the cover photo of that was at Lac Louise in Alberta.
Yes, we were living in Alberta, and I thought, you know, why don't I get a picture from there? Because I was really inspired by music that had been described the mountains. And so we took the harp there and was right on the water. It was between two rainstorms, so if, when you see the pictures, that's real water, and that hasn't been touched at all. That's all like exactly how the photographer took it. So it was pretty amazing. He'd never photographed a harpist before.
Nice. And you mentioned he was the hotel.
Yes, he was the hotel photographer, because otherwise you need a license. My husband usually does the photography, so we're like, it was easier just to go with the hotel photographer, but he was amazing in the end.
Yeah. And speaking of your husband, a veteran, a member of the Navy, the Canadian
yes.
Navy, I would guess based out of CFB Halifax.
Yes.
Fantastic. And there was a song that touched my heart, talking about the journey and return. Drop off by helicopter, return by boat, thank goodness,
yes.
In the Halifax Harbor. And so I closed my eyes and you could just picture that, and you can feel the connection between you two. So, do you have any other plans to come back to Vancouver? I hope you do.
Oh, definitely, because most of my family lives out here, so I'm definitely interested in bringing my harp back and finding more venues. I'd love to go to Vancouver Island and do the folk clubs, and definitely go to my hometown, Kamloops, because they've never heard me sing with a harp before, so it'll be interesting to see their reaction.
We also have quite a bit of Highland Games around here, and I live out near Coquitlam, and also at the Skagit Valley Highland Games just across the border in Washington State. They had a harp tent last year.
Oh.
So it was all these kind of harp related things
yeah.
are floating in my mind, as
yes.
well as the arrangements of classical music. So
yeah.
I'm super excited to hear what's coming up in the future. Where can people find your music?
On my website, adriajacksonharp.com, A-D-R-I-A Jackson. And then I also have a YouTube channel with lots of original like live video, and also some more curated videos. And I'm obviously on the street, all the streaming
platforms.
Yeah,
beautiful stuff. Well, thank you, Adria, so much. Pleasure to make your acquaintance, and we look forward to hearing more from you.
Thanks for coming out. That was great. Great to meet you.
Thank you. You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM Radio. Burnaby. Bum, 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 bum. Thanks, Connor. And now on to my interview with Teal Phelps Bondarov.
It's a double last name, so it's Phelps Bondarov with no hyphen. And for the purposes of today's conversation, I'm the director of research for Oceans Asia. We're a marine conservation group, but I also wear a ton of other hats.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the chair and co-founder of Access BC, the campaign that fought for free contraception in BC.
Wow.
And I'm also a counselor in the District of Saanich and do research on Canadian and international politics.
I guess the best place to start is, what is a sea cucumber?
Yeah, so sea cucumbers are echinoderms. They're marine invertebrates that are closely related to starfish, and they have what's called pentaradial symmetry. So they're sort of the same on five sides. So if you look at animals in this, you know, broader family, you've got starfish and brittle stars and sea urchins and sea cucumbers. What's really interesting about the work that I do is a lot of it is just simply teaching people that sea cucumbers are not vegetables and are in fact really important species in marine environments. But they've been described as the earthworms of the sea. And the two big species that people will see out here on the West Coast are the giant sea cucumber and the orange sea cucumber. They go by a lot of names, but if folks are going down to the high tide line on this beautiful up